Yo, check this out. This is Fresh Fit out the China Man with the 2 Live Crew.
Yo, what's up, y'all? It's me, DMC.
What's up, y'all? This is the Blunt Master P.
Yo, check us out. Chuck the Public Enemy.
Yo, what's up? This is DJ Yella from the world's most dangerous group.
What's up? This is DLC.
This is your boy, C. Murder.
This is Jerry Heller, motherfucker.
This is your boy, DJ Paul KOL 365.
Young Busy Bomb.
Vice Womp.
Yo, this is DJ Ready Brand.
What up? This is the real Rick Ross. You listen to me on the Murder Master Music Show.
This is the show that shows no limits, broadcast nothing but the real. Interviews with legendary artists, still got love for the underground feel. Rappers with records, reveal the addition of rappers that are coming up, get them put on. We need to the platform to fight the main. The show that you need to be on. Hit up UGS for life on screen and follow up wizards.com. For all of your needs, production and mixing and mastering, graphics and shadow design. Check out the archives and hundreds of shows, buddy, your content and view it is. Everything free to download and stream. Oh yeah, we deserve the real review.
Unstoppable, we brought our bitch, we represent. All them killers on the mic and we should love to all you fans. We keep the focus, bringing nothing but the rhythm. To come and tune into the dopest.
I'm a man-made guy, crazy, knocking all you rappers off. It's underground society, it's genius for life, dog. Hip-hop ain't dead, represent for the legend. Rapping mumble rappers, so we ain't sitting on the hips. Two-pocket beats, dreaming, thank you for the bliss. It's a murder master music show. Free the homie gangster bro. I see these rappers on these streets, I got my job about to blow. Stay up on that raw shit, uncut street shit.
Vanilla song, I see you feeding for the show. Let's get the drum, let's get it on.
What's up, everybody? It's your boy Prez. Welcome to Murder Master Music Show, episode 653. You know, every year around this time, the homie K-Reno drops some projects. Matter of fact, so does Gangsta Nip. He's going to be on the show tomorrow, same time. K-Reno's going to be on tonight. He's got this new album, Mind Vision. He blessed us with a couple tracks to be able to play for you guys tonight. If you haven't, you can pre-order his album already. You know, you also got to check out K-Reno Radio as well. You know, he's killing it. Last night he had a dope interview with Zero. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, support everything he's doing, man. K-Reno is hip-hop. And, you know, it's always an honor for us to be able to showcase his talents here on the Murder Master Music Show. Matter of fact, for those that don't know, he was our first guest for this live show almost seven, eight years ago. You know what I'm saying? Coming up on 8 years. So, you know, here we are 653 episodes later. It's an honor and a privilege to still be able to, bring him on and, you know, like I said, showcase the man's many talents. You know, not many of you out there can hang lyrically with dude. Matter of fact, you know what I'm saying, he definitely, in my eyes, is the GOAT, you know what I'm saying, or at least should be in everybody's top 10 list. You got all these people talking about these top 10 lists. If K-Reno ain't near the top of any of your lists, you really need to go check this man's music out then. You're missing out. Because if you did listen to him like we do, you would not dispute that at all. So, yeah, we got some tracks we're going to play tonight. You know, we're just going to chop it up with Kay. But I see the homie Sin is on the line. I'm going to bring him on real quick, see how he's doing. Sin, how you doing, brother?
Yes, sir. Hi, Scott. And, Kevin was legendary since 1983.
Yeah. 83. Really? You know, I remember we did an episode with him when he was celebrating 30 years in the game. I think that was back in 2013. You know, here he is now, you know, going on close to 40 years in the game. It's crazy. It's crazy. And he's still killing it lyrically, you know what I'm saying? Nobody's really touching dude on the mic. But for those who tuned in tonight, too, we got a lot of dope stuff coming up. We just knocked out a dope interview with Reginelli of the Gambino family, you know, former No Limit soldier. He's got a new album out himself called Life After No Limit Reloaded. That was a great interview. You know what I'm saying? That turned out real good. You guys are going to enjoy that. You know, also we knocked out a dope episode with T-Rock. You know what I'm saying? He's got this new project with Lord Infamous. You know, rest in peace, Lord Infamous. You know, and then on top of that, if you haven't, you know, go back and check out the interview we did with Charlie Braxton and also Kyle Houston. Dope interviews with hip-hop journalists, because not many people, let's be real, not many people recognize what we do. You know what I'm saying? Our guest tonight, he's a hip-hop journalist too now. That's dope as hell that K-Reno has stepped into that, you know what I'm saying, realm, you know what I'm saying, to do it, you know, for years. You know, think about it. As an artist, he's getting interviewed, asked questions about his career and stuff. Now he's able to do it as well, you know. So, and K-Reno Radio, man, that's a beautiful show, man. I don't mess with too many shows. That's one I do mess with. Because you know, he gets the guys on the show and he really, you know, gets in tune with them and brings out some great conversation. So, you know, if you haven't checked out K-Reno Radio, I suggest you do.
You know, his song, Antagonistic Radio, is a famous song of DJ Premier. It's one of the favorite songs.
Yeah. Antagonistic radio, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, and now there is a lot of antagonistic radio out there. I mean, there's a lot of shows that are just, you know, they're doing a lot of garbage. You know, they're just pumping out some DJ Vlad shit on a continuous. Like, there's no historical stuff, and you know, you got to be able to tell people stories, have people tell, you know what I'm saying, hip hop history. You know, if you can't do that, I mean, if you're going to have a platform that just interviews, like, street dudes, okay, cool, do your thing in that realm. But don't continuously associate hip-hop with you know, street shit and crime and the mafia and gangs and shit like that. Focus on the music and the talent side of it as well. You know, stay in your lane. Some of these guys can't do that. They just can't. Vlad's one of them. Vlad's like a, you know, everybody says he's like a fucking fed or something, but he does. He does interrogations, not interviews. That's what it seems like anyway.
Yeah.
But you know, but we got for those just tuning in, we got K-Reno. He's going to be calling in real soon. We got some dope tracks off this new album, Mind Vision, which you can actually pre-order it right now. You know what I'm saying? You can actually get it and, you know what I'm saying, physical copies as well as online. So, you know, you got to support what this guy's doing. You can't sleep whenever he drops some stuff. I think we're going to give him a track right now. This one's called Secret War. And then when we come back, you know what I'm saying, we should be chopping it up with K-Reno. But check this one out right now, Secret War. Don't go nowhere.
For those who don't know what's being done, it's time for me to tell you exactly what's being done. But more importantly, who's the one doing it? And at the same time, tell you a little bit about what they do. How they try to turn us into that. Let's go. This is the new normal. Everyone's too carnal. When the strong becomes oppressed, effects are too harmful. Who are the life-altering pushers of this type of madness? Black men are glad to put a dress on as a rite of passage. The self-degrading path of cash deeply impacts your mental. The consequential aftermath of this ain't accidental. So senseless, we don't even see our own divinity. Defenseless against this war on our masculinity. Who benefits from the bending of our tendencies to dominate any of this enemy's industries? It's bigger than money and material favors black and status in his world, cause he already gave us that. He baited you with things to alter your behavior.
behavior track and make distractions to keep you from claiming greatness. Facts cover our eyes, so with him we won't break our ties and never realize that it's in our hands the power lies.
Casualty in the city war. No, 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 no. Every minute it's just feeling like they keep killing us even more. No, 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 no. They're stacking the bodies up like they keep it score. No, no.
Visible before the world carrying out their rituals. The route consists of sex on many casting couches, Luciferian messages encrypted in their outfits. The contract writers who hire you require this and fly you through the cycle of the Zionist entitlement. Top rabbis and pedophile Jews get their values from the Babylonian Talmud. They don't live by the Torah, they live by these rules. Sex trafficking, raping babies younger than preschool. These principles are used in their control of entertainment and applied to many who have a desire to be famous. So they pay rappers and actors who are chasing after dreams, then present you as a girl on the front of a magazine. Now the plan has been employed, leaving manhood void. So in the eyes of black boys, the male image is destroyed.
We're casualties in a civil war. No, 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 no. Every minute is just feeling like they keep killing us even more. No, 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 no. They're stacking the bodies up like they keep it score. No, 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 no. Every sign that they're showing the city we ignore. No, no.
Is buried in a feminized era. Experimental chemicals like Depo-Provera are used scientifically as a medical weapon to shift our testosterone levels into recession. They lie and twist the truth plus the able of comatose. And scientific proof is still labeled as homophobic. So now you stand afraid to say what's in ya, cause you know speaking against the gay agenda may offend the paper spenders. The great pretenders push abomination. This song was made to conjure conversation, not for hate and condemnation. When you love people, you handle them with patience, cause it's not okay to blame the uneducated for Satan's machinations. The scheme against the black family smokers, the hood is broken, hopeless, and self-respect is no longer the focus. But truth can end the hypnosis, though some damage has been done. But how can you fight a war if you don't even know you in one?
A casualty in a civil war. No, 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 no. Every minute is just feeling like they keep killing us even more. No, 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 no. Like they keep the score. No, 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 no. If you find it, they're showing the city we ignore. Yeah. No, no.
Secret War from the album Mind Vision, which you can pre-order right now. Let's bring on the homie K Reno, man, the man behind that madness. Wow, what a track.
Man, I appreciate the love. Appreciate y'all having me on. You know, it's always an honor and a pleasure to come on this show, man. One of the main platforms that have been in support of your big brother for the longest. So I appreciate y'all, man. So I'm always glad to give y'all any exclusives on any of the new stuff coming out. Y'all are actually the first people to actually get this and play it, so it ain't nothing but love.
Wow. Wow, that's a huge honor right there, man. When is Mind Vision dropping, Kay?
About another 10, 11 days. We're looking at the 16th of this month, so probably about 10, 11 days. We may release it digitally earlier than that, but I haven't decided yet. So, but no further than the 16th, we'll be getting the digital and the physical copies will be circulating around that time.
Wow, wow! And they can pre-order it right now. Where can they go to pre-order?
They can go to SouthParkCoalition.net. That's SouthParkCoalition.net, and once you pull the site up, you just click Music Store. And the Mind Vision album cover will be right in your face, and you can just click it and place your order. You know, we got a lot of people who've been inquiring about it, and then you know, even in this modern age, there's still a lot of people that love the physical copies. They love the CDs to jam them, to even just to put them up as collectors. So, you know, be sure to go out and get your copy.
Yeah, collection. I mean, people love collecting them. Your earlier stuff are collector's items. Some of the stuff is very hard to get, you know. I really appreciate the fact that you still drop CDs. Because a lot of guys, man, they're just doing it, you know, just digital. And, man, I think that you're missing out on a whole fan base if you do it just digitally.
Yeah, because a lot of people still bumping their CDs, you know. It's you have people that are just rooted in the old school. They're like, man, we're going to rock them till the wheels fall off. I'm one of those people. But on the same token, you kind of have to base it off of what you see a lot of the so-called majors do, too. If a Jay-Z or a Kanye or anybody, if they come out with a release, it'll still be available on CD as well, to my knowledge. So, you know, people are still bumping them. They're still moving. Maybe not like they used to back in the 90s and the early 2000s, but, you know, it's still a place for them, just like vinyl made a resurgence. And a lot of people that's buying vinyl, collecting vinyl, you see the same thing with CDs as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We just had EC Illa on the show a couple weeks back. And he dropped a 25th anniversary of one of his projects, which was released in 94. He only pressed up 94 copies, you know, and
wow.
And that was it. It's not going to be released digitally, or, you know, that was
right.
It. You know, you ever think about doing something like that, like a 10-copy release or, you know, something rare?
Yeah, it wouldn't be that small of an amount. If I was to ever do it, I did just do a deal with a guy out of Germany to do some vinyl on my first album on Stories from the Black Book, and but we did a limited edition of 300, and we just did a deal to do Danger Zone as well, which was my second album that came out in 95. So, and I'm working on some stuff as well to probably do like a greatest hits on vinyl. And other projects like that, the Sorcerer Saga on vinyl. Those are some of the things that I've been discussing and working on that the true fans would appreciate. You know, some of the things, just like the brother you just mentioned, for him to do 94, I'm assuming, you know, I don't know for sure, but I'm assuming that he's like, you know, I'm going to cater this to the people who really are my real fans and it's a first come, first serve. So that's kind of how I look at it. I look at it the same way. Like, even if we do 200 or 300, it's going to be basically catered towards my true, true supporters who are going to actually go out and purchase it and support it. And if it goes beyond, if the demand exceeds the supply, then we'll just deal with that when we get to it.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's nothing to always repress if you choose to do so.
Right.
But yeah, That's awesome that you're going to be doing that with various projects, you know. But this Mind Vision, as we just heard that Secret Wars track, man, I can only imagine, you know, what's on here, man. How long did it take you to record this album? And, you know what I'm saying, what is the whole concept behind Mind Vision?
Well, we never take a long time to record because I've been blessed to work with people who work so fast and so efficient, and my whole process is one that's based around trying to be as efficient as I can, but at the same time not being lazy and skipping steps and half doing it. So it probably took us about, once everything was written, we literally recorded the album probably in 6 or 7 sessions total, just recording sessions. I showed up at a studio maybe 7 times to record the album, you know, if that, you know, because my homie Scal, who I've been working with since Mightier Than the Sword album, you know, we got a good chemistry, and he works real fast, and we lay it out, man, so... took about, in total, maybe a couple of months to write, and then maybe another seven sessions worth of studio visits to finish it. So it wasn't long at all. And matter of fact, I'm getting ready to start on another one that I'm going to try to have done by February, because My Vision has 15 tracks on it, but there are a lot of songs that had some unanswered conclusions and questions from previous projects that the fans are waiting on. So I'm going to clean all that up and clear all that up, who stole the bike and all that type of stuff. So we'll have that ready in February.
Man, that's what I'm talking about. I like that work ethic, man. You're like, I already got this next one on the way and probably got two or three down the road lined up. You know what I'm saying? How did you develop that type of work ethic, man, and who are some of your inspirations, you know what I'm saying, that work like that?
Man, I mean, part of the work ethic, it kind of evolved naturally, but I would say the origin of it, the root of it, came from when I was young, in terms of just a young rap fan listening to my favorite artists, and the majority of my favorite artists would come out with an album every year. You know, one, you could always depend on that particular artist to drop an album at least once a year. But then you had other artists who were also some of my favorite artists that they would drop an album and then they might not come out for two or three years. And it's like, man, what's taking so long? You know, so they would leave their fans just in limbo, just hanging. And I always said when I started making records, I always was like, I'm not going to ever do that. I'm going to make sure that you get at least one a year. And then in the 90s, I was starting on that path, but I look back at the decade of the 90s, I was like, man, I only dropped like four albums in the whole decade of the 90s. So When the 2000s kicked in, I just went into overdrive, man, and a lot of ideas and concepts started coming to me, and I was like, well, what if I drop two this year? What if I drop three this year? What if I drop three at one time? What if I drop seven at one? You start trying to push the envelope and go as far as you can. So mine kind of developed over time, man.
Yeah, definitely. We had T-Rock on the show a couple days ago, and we were talking about, like, you know, who dropped the most albums, and I think he was saying that James Brown has 120 on Spotify.
Wow.
You know, of course, some are greatest hits, of course, and live albums
right.
And different. Yo, are you approaching that? What's your count, man?
Nah, I wish. I'm probably, this one will probably put me at 50, right up on 50. But, yeah, just to have the thought of 120 albums, even if they are greatest hits and compilations and other projects that people have put together, is still a great accomplishment to even have enough material to sift through in order to even put those together. Because, you know, you got people like Stevie Wonder and a lot of other prolific artists who have put out a lot of projects. Tupac, who did so much work in such a short period of time, man. You know, when you think about the fact that he was, that he died in 1996 when he was 25 years old and still had enough music for those labels to drop on him for at least Tupac albums were coming out for at least 15 years after he passed away, in my estimation. So I look at that and it just keeps me grounded, like, man, I got to keep moving. And I interviewed Zero on my radio show last night, and he talked about how he has over 2,000 songs put up in library, over 2,000
wow.
songs. So that, just imagine if you broke those down into albums, into a certain amount of projects. So I stay humbled in terms of just my releases, knowing I got close to 50 or a little bit over 50, but I'm trying to get to 50 more of them.
Yeah, absolutely, man. That's good to hear for the fans. You know, that's like Deontay Wilder, Tyson Fury saying we're going to box until we're in our 40s, you know.
Right.
And you want to see those fights. You want to keep seeing them, you know what I'm saying, knock each other out and do whatever they do. But, man, that's what I'm talking about. But you just mentioned Zero. You interviewed him last night. 2,000 songs. That's insane.
That's
how
that's
many of those have K Reno on them? Are there any unreleased Zero K Reno collaborations?
I feel like there probably is because, you know, over the years we've periodically got together and recorded songs just a lot over the years. So there may be, you know, out of 2,000, I know it, there's not like 200 or 300 of them or 150, not that many, but there may be 5 or 6 songs floating around that we've done that never got released. So, but and out of all those songs, man, it's easy to lose. I don't lose those songs. I don't even know how he would have a system. I hope he has a system of organization where he knows where everything is. Because man, that would be crazy, man. And that's one of the things that I've never done in terms of just how I've worked my career that I wish I was more into, and that's building up library. I don't have any library. I don't have songs just sitting up because everything I make, I put it out. You know, I make it with the purpose of putting it out. But you know, one day I'll dig in one day and just start building up a bunch of library songs like that.
Yeah, that's, you know, and that's a good thing because, you know, years after he's gone, we can still have more Zero albums or, you know, just like with Pac and stuff. And it's kind of like you're putting away for the future, obviously. You know, let's go to another track, Kay, then I want to come back. I want to talk a little bit more about Kay Reno Radio and some other things. First one we play with Secret War. This one here is Connectivity. What can you tell us about this one?
Yeah, man, just basically, man, just lyricism. You know, I like to always make sure that I give, you know, my fans and supporters and just fans of pure lyricism, I always got to give you a track like that or two or three. So this is one of those where you just go all the way through, no hooks, just spitting bars the whole track.
Like Enigma class, or
right. Bunch of them. Just get it, just let the beat run and just go.
Hell yeah. Well, you're going to hear it right here, right now. K Reno Connectivity off his new album, Mind Vision. Make sure to support that. We'll be right back.
On a quest to prove every legible word is connectable. You stepped into a perpetual new data receptacle. My letter, you so indelible, it's registered edible. Kiss you, then compress the breath from you until your neck is blue. Drinks in a mask, so enemies couldn't harass me. My patience is fast, infinity couldn't outlast me. I write in secrecy at peak speeds. My PADs release a lethal measles breed. If I don't keep them in a deep freeze, bar strange with unlimited linear range. My mind frames the street with 2021 lanes. I'll change into the baby me and still disable these basic weak vacancies with these phrases using just letters A through E. So truthfully, what could you do to me when I'm the super G who's at the podium reading the Reaper's eulogy? My microphone is 7 feet long. My speech tones are so strong that when I speak them, they shatter my own cheekbone. Everyone I hate, it gets congregated. I'll take your lung out of your complicated and stomp it until it's uninflated. Greatly underrated, yet I'm your favorite. I'll play with your brain and make it so basic that 1 + 1 will look complicated. Shake the fees that my head retrieves. Enemies not yet conceived, calling, threatening me, pressing and yelling and questioning me aggressively, seeking to get the recipe to my expertise. It's a must to see. I humiliate artists publicly. Subjects be deep enough to make hate fall in love with me. The life supplier, inspired writer, a fireworks. One entire verse can make a glass of water die of thirst. I'm using veteran moves. One incredible dude. Hearing two of my songs is like going through medical school. Non-escape from a monstrous fate. I dominate and concentrate, drifting in and out of conscious state. I spit poison ivy when you try me. And just to sit beside me, you gotta show 100 forms of ID. My sickly gifts I can prove quickly. When I stand in the mirror and move, my reflection scared to move with me. I'm filled with electric type skills. So anytime I write for real, I get a $7,000 like bill. I kill and double back after pretending to leave. Then I proceed doing squats, never bending my knees. I'ma press my hands around your neck slow. And even though I saw your final breath, I squeezed another month before I let go. I leave you broken like the Depeche Mode. A hand woven flesh robe is the dress code to get into my next show. My workstation is the scene of creation. New innovations like spontaneous cream.
number one, finished in second place. The soup perfect was something to come reduce hurts. You said it's in reverse, I'll build the house and hung the roof first. Your two tasteless, audaciously basis. You flagrantly take your patron, syphilaceous places. Blaze a sanctuary, chasing you away from its safeness. It weaken you till you can't even raise something that's weightless. I'm breaking company rules, so confident I can run through these fools lyrically while getting my tonsils removed. I steer in the jet gear, the exosphere exterior threat here. Looking at footage of myself from next year.
Next year,
next year.
I'm going to have to listen to that about 20 more times, Kay, because, man, that's just straight lyrics, straight bars, man. You know what I'm saying? That's when you do tracks like that, you know what I'm saying, over the years, do you feel like, man, I got to outdo the previous one? Is that ever a thing with you? Or
oh, yeah, always the mindset. But, you know, and it's not to say that you always accomplish that. You know, because it's always going to be certain songs that are better than other ones, but you still have that mind frame that you're competing against yourself, that you want to outdo whatever the past tracks you did from the previous album. Because if you let the years pass and you claim that you're getting better, or you feel like you want to get better, then you have to outdo your previous work. So even if you come short sometimes or you're kind of even with it, you're still fighting that fight.
Yeah, no doubt, man. Over the years, are there any ones that stand out for you? Like I mentioned earlier, Enigma Class, Extreme Malice. I mean, we can go on and on.
Yeah.
What are some of the ones that you are fond of?
Yeah, man, those are two that you named, but like Mind Marathon, Duality, you know, tracks like that have always been some of the ones that I like. You know, the fans, they pick the ones they like as well, and sometimes they'll remind me of songs that I forgot that I hadn't given much thought to in a while, and I said, okay, yeah, and they'll make me go back and listen to it just to see what it is, so... Maniacal Manifesto, just songs like that may not get to mention, but are some of the ones I like.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. We got the homie Sin. I know he's got a couple questions for you, Kay. I'm going to bring him on. Sin, you there, brother? Hello? Sin's not there. Call back in, brother, if you can hear us. But no, back to the Mind Vision, you know, where would you say this album, you know what I'm saying, where would you put it up against your others, you know what I'm saying? Is this one, I'm not saying which one's better, but as far as, like, are you going in different directions with this one than previous albums, or?
Yeah, I would say a formula or a template that I normally use. I know that everybody knows that there are going to be certain types of songs that I have on every particular album I do. I don't really start making a lot of the comparisons until it comes out. And I base them mainly on what the people are saying. And 'cause I'm always worried before an album comes out. I'm like, man, how is it going to be received? Are they going to say he's still on that level? Is he falling off? Or whatever the case might be. And then all of a sudden, you know, it drops. And you read the responses or you hear what the people have to say about it. And they can give you an insight that you may not have factored on when you was putting it together. Because sometimes you just immerse yourself in the actual creative process of putting the project together. And you don't get a chance to sit back and think about it until... it's done. And once it's done, I go maybe two or three weeks without even listening to it because I'm tired of hearing it, then I'll listen to it and assess it. So, you know, I basically let the people do it because I'm never satisfied.
Yeah. Well, that's, I mean, you're really in touch with your fans. I mean, you really got a great fan base, you know what I'm saying? And you really, you're in tune with them, you know. What's it like, you know, meeting different people, you know, from around the world that come up to you and tell you how much they love and appreciate your music and your contribution?
It's a blessing, you know. It's a blessing that God would even put me in a position to have people feel like that about my music, you know. Then it's an honor. So what happens is people will approach me and tell me how happy they are and honored they are to meet me, not understanding that I'm just as honored to meet them because of the love that they show me, because I feel like I work for them. So if I'm putting this music out and making these songs and they are spending their hard-earned money to support and purchase it, then in a sense I work for them. I owe them my best effort every time out. So when they come and they express the fact that they feel like I've succeeded in giving them my best effort, then I can't do nothing but be grateful to them.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, another thing, you know, huge congratulations on K-Reno Radio, doing a lot of dope shows, like, you know, Zero last night. But one of my favorite ones you did, you know what I'm saying, was the last interview ever with Bushwick Bill. Rest in peace, Bushwick Bill.
Yeah.
That was so touching, man. You know, I mean, you can't help but to feel his pain in that interview, man. What was that like, you know, conducting that interview? And at the time, did you think that maybe he still might have a chance to come out of the situation that he was in?
Yeah, I felt like he did, because he, even then, if he didn't tell you that he was sick, you wouldn't have known he was sick, because we had just left the studio right before we came up to the radio station, and I had been to the studio probably with him two or three times before that, and he's in there bouncing around, writing lyrics, running in and out of the booth, excited, calling people, you know. So if he never would have shared the fact that he was going through what he was going through, I never would have knew. So I looked at it like, even at that time, I looked at it like, you know, I had no idea that this was going to be his last interview, because maybe a day or two after that interview, he went to the hospital. He checked into the hospital, and then he never came out, you know. So it was really surprising that it happened that quick after seeing how functional that he had been all that other time. But it was also, you know, an honor for me to be able to interview him, and for me to be able to let him have a platform to express his truth, you know. Now, whether people agree with what he said, or whether people say, okay, well, what he was saying was exactly accurate or not, out of respect for him, I was glad to give him the opportunity to express what he felt was his truth. And if somebody else was to come along and had a different view of it, I would give them that same opportunity, you know, just out of respect for Bill. I just wanted to shut up and basically let him talk. If I toss a question out there, I'm just going, you know what, let me let him just say what he has to say. And I was glad that he honored us to come on the show and do that.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. And his son now, you know, they're going around premiering, you know, the Bushwick Bill Ghetto Boy documentary film. And it's good to see his son carry on that legacy. You know, is he somebody that you've ever spoken with or had on the show, Young No?
No, I've never met his son. I've seen him a couple of times on other interviews that Bill had on with him, but the truth of the matter is that it's always a good thing when the second generation of an individual wants to carry on the legacy of their parents. So I would hope that whatever he's trying trying to do, you know, it works out for him, and that he can follow in his father's footsteps. You know, some big shoes to fill, but on the same token, it also gives him a springboard and a platform, just the fact of being Bushwick's son, that it could probably get him to certain doors that he may not have been able to get in under other circumstances. So I wish him the best.
Yeah, absolutely. K-Reno Radio is, you know what I'm saying, you've already knocked out tons and tons of episodes. Is this like your third or fourth season now, or?
Really, I'm kind of judging it off of how many years I've been doing it. January will be 2 years that I've been doing it.
2 years? That's it? Wow, it seems like you've been doing it for a lot longer because you've been just knocking out these dope shows.
It seems shorter to me because it's like I can remember, for some reason, I remember all the details of just the beginning, the origins of it. I can remember all of it like it's yesterday. I remember the first show we did. I remember basically every interview that we did with every artist. I can remember the details and the circumstances surrounding it. So it's really went by fast, in my opinion. But, yeah, we'll be at 2 years in January, and that's amazing. That's longer than I anticipated that I would be doing. I never anticipated I would be doing radio in the first place, but now coming up on 2 years, it's a blessing. And like you said, just some of the amazing interviews that we've been able to land since I've been doing it. All of the H-Town rappers, pretty much. We still got a few to get, but some that are, you know, outside of the city, outside of the state, some of the world-famous guys and some of the great activists and, you know, not just rappers. So it's been great, man. We're looking forward to doing a whole lot more.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, this Saturday, everybody's going to be watching Andy Ruiz Jr. fight Anthony Joshua for the second time, but if they're in Denver later on that night, I imagine they can check out you and Blank, man. You guys got a show. Tell everybody about that, Kay.
No doubt, man. We'll be in Denver, Colorado. So everybody that's listening right now, if you're in the Denver area, if you're in Denver, anywhere close by, y'all come out and see myself, Point Blank, the homie Filero from Most Hated, and we'll be out there, man. We'll be at Sports Watch Bar and Grill. And that's located at 6801 Lowell Boulevard. That's Lowell Boulevard out in Denver, Colorado. Basically, it's a little town outside of Denver called Westminster, but it's Denver, Colorado. And so, yeah, y'all come out, man. We got a lot of love and support out in that area for years and years, man, all the way back. If I could take it all the way back to the Murder Dog days around the 90s, I used to always get fan letters from Denver and emails from Denver, Colorado, from people just expressing how big of fans they are of myself and South Park Coalition. So this will be my first time coming to perform. We did Colorado Springs back in April, but we haven't done Denver yet, and then everybody's like, man, why, when y'all coming to Denver? When you coming to Denver? So this is y'all opportunity to come and check us out this Saturday.
Man, that's what's up. You and the Blanks, they're all these years together still doing it. You know, everybody, Klondike Cat, Gangsta Nip.
Yeah.
The longevity of the South Park Coalition is just amazing, because not the fact that you guys just been, you know what I'm saying, rapping all these years, but you've been actively putting out product all these years, man. What's in the water down there, man? What gives you guys that drive? Are you
guys
competing with each other, kind
of? That hustle. We drinking that hustle juice, you know, and the thing is, it's like
a gallon of extraterrestrial hormone, man.
You know, and I tell people, man, it's a two-way street, man. It's like we have an obligation as the artists and to keep providing good music, and if we provide good music, then the fans fulfill their obligation to keep supporting it. So what keeps us doing it and establishes the longevity is the fact that, okay, we never stopped. We didn't decide, okay, man, I'm 35 now, time to stop rapping, time to to do this. You know, we kept doing what we love to do, and we continue to have something relevant to talk about. And our audience grew with us. Our fan base grew with us. And not only did our fan base grow with us, but younger fans latched on to the movement, to a movement
yeah.
that was around when a lot of them wasn't even born. So a lot of my fans, man, are 18, 19, 15, 16, mid-20s. You know, so it's like that keeps you going when you get that much support from new generations, you know, because the older crowd, they'll still listen. They'll kind of hang out on the outskirts and say, okay, yeah, he got something new out. I may order it. I may get it from iTunes or whatever the case may be. But they're not as active in terms of getting out in the streets and the shows and the clubs like they used to be because everybody got families and children to raise and bills to pay. But a lot of our shows we do, we look out in the crowd and we see nothing but people that could be our kids. So that's a blessing, man. That's a blessing because the youth are who we need to be connected to in all aspects of life, man. So music has afforded us the opportunity to stay connected to the young people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like 95, 96 all over again because, you know, you're dropping, you know, Nip just dropped, you know, Reckless Klan, first album since 96, 20 to Life is back. I mean, it's just got that feel to it, man. It's just, you know, it's a beautiful thing to see, you know, all these years
later. It is, man. It's a beautiful thing to see because I'm that dude who wants to see everybody make it and wants to see everybody continue to push forward in this business. And it always hurt me and upset me and disappointed me when I see any artist, not just members of my clique, but when I see any artist stop doing music, stop doing what I know they used to love to do at one point. And you see them, it's like, man, I don't do it no more. It's like, come on, man, you got to get back in it because you had something to offer, you had something to give. But the business side of it, it just has such a way of discouraging artists because they it makes you lose sight of the art form and why you got involved in this in the first place. You didn't get involved in this because of the business. At least we didn't. It wasn't because of the business side. It was because we love to do this music. We love to rap. We love to battle. We love to perform. And now all of a sudden, a business element is injected into it that makes you bitter and lose that love for it. We can't do that. So the solution to that, and when I tell a lot of young people that's trying to get in the game, when I go speak to them, or if I'm just talking to you on the streets, the solution to that is to learn the business side of it as you're growing and learning the art side of it. Because if you are in control of your business, it can still be a task, but it's more of a fun task and more of an enjoyable task when you know that you have full control and nobody's stealing from you.
Yeah. Man, I agree 120,000% because a lot of people say, man, your show should be bigger than what it is. And I always tell them the 99.9% of the artists we cover should be bigger than what they are. So I'm in my fucking lane, you know, I'm right where I need to be. And, you know, you gotta have a love for this, you know, to want to be.
And what you do provides a platform for those types of artists, for artists like myself and artists in other regions who, like you say, if you look at the work that's been put in, if you look at the years and the time, then, they should be on a higher level than what they're on. But if it wasn't for platforms like yours, then we wouldn't even have these types of avenues to let people know what's going on and to promote. So what you do fills a void, you know, that's
thank
super,
you,
super, super huge, you know, because a lot
thank
of people,
you.
They
and
reach.
You too,
reach
you too with K-Reno Radio, man. You're giving a platform to so many people.
Yeah, but see, but the thing is, even that, even what I do, you know, I'm a rookie in the radio game. Even what I do is based off of years of dealing with individuals like you, like Matt Sanzala, Bobby Fats, just different individuals who have interviewed me over the years, and their shows were based around what people would call the underdog, the little man, and I watched the way that y'all move and operate, and I wanted to make sure that my platform was exactly that, some place where if I'm coming out of the gas station and one of the little homies just walk up and say, man, I want to get on your radio show, I'm not too big to tell him, okay, yeah, well, we'll make that happen for you, you know, and get him on and surprise him, like, because, you know, people say all the time, well, man, okay, well, he said he going to do it, but is he really going to do it? And then they get that phone call, and you actually say, okay, man, you ready? You know, you ready? And they just surprised, and they appreciate that because it may be somebody who never put a record out, or they just have a mixtape, or they just have a single. They just have a SoundCloud, you know, and it makes a big difference because we're not looking at ourselves as being above anybody.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know what I'm saying? Huge honor, man, to you know, have you on the show all over the years. Like I was telling the people, you were the first guest, you know, 5 minutes notice, you know. But it's always been a pleasure, man. Before we do get out of here, though, I got one more track, but I want to bring on the homie Sin. I know he's got a couple questions. We're going to try him one more time. This is your last shot, Sin. No, I'm just messing with you there. Okay, there you go,
yeah,
brother.
Yes, sir. Hi, Kevin O, legendary.
Hey, how you doing, my brother? Good to talk to you again, man.
Yeah, always, bro. Yes, I have a question about your first song, Back in the Day, Rocket It. In 1986, when you was under the name of Real Chill, can you tell us about this one and the history behind?
Yeah, that was just my first time getting my feet wet in the business. I came up in an era where it was all about being in a group. You know, when I came up, it was Grandmaster Flash and Furious Five. It was the Sugar Hill Gang. It was Run DMC, Fat Boys, UTFO, Houdini. Everything predominantly was a group. So I was in groups from the very beginning. And Real Chill was the first rap group that we formed and got together, and we made it happen. And we put the song Rocking It Out in 1987. It was strictly on vinyl because, of course, CDs wasn't around at the time, and we didn't know to press up any cassettes, you know, with a single on it, and it was just my first experience putting out a record. We wrote it, produced it, mixed it, mastered it, and never really sold it. We just pressed up probably, man. I still got boxes of those things. You know, I'm just starting to just bring them back out because. Like we were talking about earlier, there's such a demand for vinyl now that I take them with me everywhere I go now and just sell them or give them away because we're just living in that kind of day. But it was a great experience because we learned so much. You know, my father was financing us back then, and we would travel to L.A., New York, Atlanta. At 16, 17 years old, we were traveling all these different places, going to these music conventions and trying to get a record deal, shopping our music. So I still have, you know, vivid memories from those times, and all that stuff happened over 30 years ago.
Yeah. Do you remember the first rapper you ever had in Houston, Texas, back in the day?
The first rapper I ever had where?
Yeah, in Houston.
That I ever knew?
Yeah.
Probably was Wicked Cricket. Had to be. You know, he was the one who was doing it in the early 80s. You know, I started writing in the early 80s, but I wasn't performing. I wasn't on the scene. I wasn't old enough to be in no clubs or anything like that. So the first guy that I would hear whose name was ringing in the streets and everywhere you go. If you go to a park, when you heard the name Wicked Cricket, it was like, okay, that's the guy. So when I finally got a chance to lay eyes on him for the first time, it was like just seeing a superstar. It was like seeing LL Cool J or somebody at that time, because he was walking around with gold chains and diamond rings, and he was just super flashy, and he already had that celebrity appeal and that celebrity vibe about himself way back then. And fortunately, you know, he took me under his wing, you know, when I was a kid, man, and you know, and we was tight all the way up until the time he passed away. So Wicked Cricket would have to be the first one out of Houston. And there was others, but for me, he was the first one.
Yes, it was Darryl Scott too back in the day also. DJ Darryl Scott, Biffa's crew.
Yeah, you know what, Darryl Scott was a DJ. He preceded Screw in terms of making the mixtapes and things of that nature, even though he wasn't slowing them down. But his mixtapes were the hottest tapes in the streets. You know, he would number them. It would be like, man, the Darryl Scott, the 15 is coming out, or the Darryl Scott 15 and a half is coming out. And he would have all of the top hit tracks of the time, you know, on his mixtapes, and everybody in the city knew who Darryl Scott was. And he really is another one of the forgotten legends in the city of Houston that people don't really remember and talk about like they should.
Yeah. And your song, Four Dimensions of a Universe, between the late AC Chill and Gangsta Nip and Dopey, from the album, Story from the Black Book. It was a dope song. Can you tell us about this one, Four Dimensions of a Universe?
Yeah, back in the days, you know, we would always do these click songs on our album. It was almost like an unwritten, unspoken obligation that every SPC member had to put a click song on an album, a song where all of the click was spitting on. But we also had these little mini click songs. It may not be 15 or 20 people on these. It may be 4 on this one or 5 on this one. And Four Dimensions of a Universe was just that. It was like, okay, we're going to take these 4 guys on this one. So it was me, Nip, AC, and Dope. But the next combination on the album, it might be Blank, Cat, PSK, and somebody else. You know, we would do these little minis, and you know, Four Dimensions was just a song I came up with, and real simple beat that I made back in the days, and we was really focused on that South Park sound. And you know, it's cool you even mention that, because that's not one of the songs that a lot of people mention, even when it was out.
Yeah. It would be good one day you make an album like you did before with the Gambo Funk. The real Gambo Funk you have on Undaunted Zone, or on the old style.
Yeah, I mean, all of those songs, to be honest with you, man, it's like they hold a special place. All of those albums hold a special place because they represent a time where, even though we didn't have a full understanding of the business and didn't have a full understanding of what we was even doing at the time, it was still just the most fun time for us, because we were still kind of halfway innocent in the game. And we were selling more records back then, because, you know, Scott knows this as well. It's like, back then, physical copies were actually selling. People were actually getting up to the record store, spending money and buying units. So those sound scans, you're looking at it, it's like, man, this dude, man, this 25,000 units sold independently. So it was a good time from a financial aspect, from a numbers aspect too. But all of those records now, depending on who you ask, depending on the fan bases, those records are considered to be classics, and people love them, man.
Yeah. Absolutely. Thanks, Sin, for calling in, brother. Thank you, man, for taking the time out to do this interview. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show. Before we get out of here, I want to give you the platform and let them know, anything and everything, brother. It's all yours.
Yeah, man, make sure that y'all go and order the Mind Vision album. It's on southparkcoalition.net, and y'all can go on there right now and purchase the CD. Or in about a week or two, you'll be able to go and get the physical copies from all of the digital sites, anyone you could think of. It'll be on there. And make sure you support. Keep supporting the underground, man. Don't just listen to it on YouTube. You know, don't just jam it when you hear it on this free site or platform, whatever the case may be. Make sure you support the artists, because if you claim to really, really support them, you will buy the music. You know, we make music and we do it because we love it, but at the same time, this is what we do for a living. So, y'all make sure y'all to check us out. And I want to definitely shout out to you guys, man, for always welcoming us, you know, not just me, whether it be Nip or any of the great artists you bring on from all regions, South, Midwest, East, West Coast, man. You know, y'all do a great job. And much love to you as well, Scott, you know, because I know you've been going through a tough time with your family and all that, man. So, you know, definitely, you know, shout out and much love to you, man, and keep your head up, bro.
Man, I really appreciate that, Kay. And thanks to you for the genuine friendship over the years, man. You've always been as real as it gets. Speaking of which, we are having Nip on the show tomorrow night, so it worked out perfectly.
You know,
he's got the new album, Conversations with the Gangsters, that's out right now, Brother Nip. So, man, before we go, let's touch on that real quick, man. What's it like? You know, Nip comes out, is this most vile, grotesque rhyme spitter of all time, you know, most horrific rhymes. And now, you know what I'm saying, he's got another side to him, man, where he's going out and he's reaching people and he's trying to, you know what I'm saying, change things, man. What's it like to see your brother, you know what I'm saying, do that?
Well, he always was like that. See, that's what people don't know. See, even in the South Park Psycho days, you know, Nip was always exactly. You go back to his first album, that song there, that was on the first album. That was the one song out of all of the other songs where he dropped some knowledge and kind of expressed, you know, who he was in terms of things that's going on in the streets and the violence that he was opposed to. So coming into the Nation of Islam probably a year later, maybe like in 92, then you start to get that knowledge yourself, then once that deposits itself into you, then you become a totally different person. You know, we still will make songs here and there, you know, for the fans and things of that nature. But in real, real life, you know, we care about what's going on. We're not trying to see our people out here fighting and killing each other. We're not trying to see police brutality and poverty and hunger and things of that nature, prostitution, all of the things that you still see going on today. So what Nip did, he just made a conscious decision years ago to bring out the duality of his musical persona, which was Brother Nip. It's like, look, okay, you know, y'all have seen Gangsta Nip. Y'all know who Gangsta Nip is. You can go back, you can listen to Gangsta Nip. But Brother Nip is on a different level because of the simple fact that he is reaching people and reaching to save and change the reality of people for the better through that kind of music, yet still being raw, still being direct and in your face with it. See, Brother Nip is not a 180 transformation from Gangsta Nip. That's the biggest misconception. I said, well, Nip went soft. It's no, Nip didn't go. That's not a 180. You listen to Brother Nip, he's still slashing. He's still killing, but he's doing it justifiably. You see what I'm saying? He's killing who needs to be killed. He's exposing who needs to be exposed. He's the knowledge of themselves. And, but it's still gangster. It's still raw.
Yeah.
You know, because I've heard all the songs.
Psychotic Genius, you know. That's another example of classic
album. And it's not a toned, down Nip. It's brother Nip expressing knowledge itself and being a manifestation of knowledge itself and letting you know, look, this is what it really is, but don't get it twisted. It can still get physical if it needs to, but in the right way.
Yeah, absolutely. I told them, that's a great idea because you're always going to have that gangster Nip lane, you know what I'm saying, where you're going to have those legions of fans, but now you can bring in other fans that might not be into the gangster Nip side. So it's a beautiful thing, you know, to be able to do that. You know, shout out to gangster Nip and shout out to everybody in the SPC, man. Dopest clique in the rap game, period. If you guys ain't up on the SPT, I suggest you do your homework. We are going to get out of here, Kate. We got one more track, though. All I know is it said track number 4.
That's Hood Politics, man. Hood Politics featuring Andrea Maria, a new artist that I'm working with. And, that's basically what we talk about. Hood Politics is just basically speaking about how everything you see that goes on in what people call the ghetto, those things have been implemented by a higher power who controls that type of politics, whether it's drug selling, whether it's guns, whether it's prostitution. All of these things are political. It's not just some hood ghetto stuff. These things are political in nature on the highest levels, if we understand. So that's what hood politics is about.
Hell yeah. Well, thanks again, Kay Reno. Everybody out there, please support the Mind Vision Project and everything that Kay Reno and the SPC does. We'll catch you guys tomorrow with Brother Nip. Peace.
Wow. It's getting real crazy out here. Everywhere we look, we see crime, poverty, drug selling and drug using, prostitution, homelessness. We caught up in some true hood politics.
Just because they smile and laughing when they passing through.
What's up?
It don't mean that they won't kill you.
Who created hood politics? Who off the street these hood politics?
How long will we continue to live in this condition? Most of us are living in a place where love is missing. Negligence and depending on government assistance. Wishing for a lick that we can hit is nothing different. Hard to get some money, so you almost out of luck now. Had to pull a stunt and got a felony, you stuck now. Did some time in prison, it was rough when you got busted. Couldn't find a work when you got out, went back to hustling. You were still on paper, so right back in jail you landed. You followed the formula exactly how they planned it. Locked you in the cell and then they held you like a hostage. Cause prison is an industry and niggas are the profit. Acting like they care, but secretly we getting laughed at. How did our hood get tore up? We don't even ask that. Looking for a way to make people open their eyes up. Others making laws to guarantee we never rise up. Rise up. Just because they smile and laughing when they passing through. It don't mean that they won't kill you.
Who created hood politics? Andrea, sing it with me, baby. Come on.
Just because they smile and laughing when they passing. But somehow we the poorest. Consuming and not building, the cycle's never ending. Not focused on businesses or land, too busy spending. How did we become this unproductive is the question. Tennis shoes and jewelry more important than investing. Took your human rights away, running your house and blast you. Now we out here begging for something that should be natural. We don't own no property, so gradually they come slow. Buying up the hood and building high rises and condos. Out here all your life, but this is not your own crib. Too expensive for your ass to stay, so where you gon' live? Everywhere we see and look, it ain't nothing but bad news. Every corner, every block, they poison us with fast food. Always in a bad mood, hating pressure runs us. That's why
we on dope and every night we hearing guns bust, guns bust. Just because they smile and laugh and when they passing through, it don't mean that they won't kill you.
Who created hood politics? Andrea, sing it with me, baby. Come on.
Just because they smile and laugh and when they passing through,
what's up?
It don't mean that they won't kill you.
Who created hood politics? Who off the street these hood
politicians seeking office for the selfish reasons. They only come around the hood when it's election season. Show up at your church looking for votes because they leeching. Soon as they get in, they disappear and you can't reach them. They legislate in every law, they make it like a trap door. Black ones sell us off a higher status on some cash flow. Rewire our thinking so that wrong is made to feel right. Silly videos that take our focus off of real life. Broke our manhood, now they shoot us and arrest us. Living off our women, now our women don't respect us. No one to protect us. Ain't no hope around me. How can he feed his family when they locked up in the county? Baby mama, baby daddy fighting on a daily. Prescription drugs got the people out here going crazy. Purposely they keep us broken, always under stress, man. All because they treating us like pieces in a chess game. Just because